It was a Tuesday evening in October, and Alex was walking home from work. The day had been long, in the unspecific way that working days at the end of a busy week often are, and Alex was thinking mostly about dinner. The street was quiet. Most people in this part of the neighbourhood had already gone home, and Alex walked with the slightly tired, slightly automatic walk of someone who has done the same journey several thousand times. About halfway home, on a stretch of pavement next to a row of parked cars, Alex saw something dark on the ground. Without slowing, Alex registered it. A wallet, brown leather, slightly worn at the corners. And only then began to slow. Alex stopped beside it. The street was, on a brief inspection, empty in both directions. Alex bent down, picked the wallet up, and stood for a moment with it in one hand. It was a moderately heavy wallet. Inside, when Alex opened it, there was a surprising amount of cash, perhaps 100, in a mix of larger and smaller notes, along with 2 bank cards, a driving licence, an ID card, what looked like a small folded photograph, a few receipts, and the kind of cards that accumulate in a wallet without anyone quite remembering how. The ID card carried a name, Jordan, a date of birth, and an address. The street was familiar to Alex. It was about a 10-minute walk away. Alex stood on the pavement, holding the wallet open, for what was probably no more than 30 seconds. Time, however, was not behaving normally. In those 30 seconds, several things happened in Alex's mind, in something close to parallel. Alex thought about the cash. The amount was, as a piece of information, neutral. It could be returned or kept with equal practical ease, but it was also, as a piece of money, large enough to matter. Alex was not poor. Alex was also not in a position to feel that 100 in cash was insignificant. There were several small things Alex had been putting off buying because they were not, individually, urgent. The cash would have covered most of them. Alex thought, simultaneously, about Jordan, who at this moment did not yet know that the wallet was lost. Jordan would, in the next hour or so, reach into a pocket or bag, find nothing there, and begin the small, panicked process of remembering when the wallet had last been used. The cards could be cancelled. The cash, of course, could not be replaced. The photograph, whatever it was lost permanently if the wallet was not returned. Alex thought, briefly and with some discomfort, about the question of who would know. The street was empty. The wallet had no obvious witness. In the practical sense, no one but Alex would ever know whether the wallet had been returned or not. Alex registered this fact, and registered too a small sour feeling at having registered it. Alex thought, finally, about Alex. About the kind of person Alex either was or wished to be. About what it would feel like to walk home now, in either direction. Wallet returned, or wallet not. About the small way in which the answer to that question seemed, on inspection, to be quite clear. All of this took 30 seconds, more or less. Alex closed the wallet, put it carefully into an inside pocket, and started walking towards Jordan's address. Jordan's house was on a quiet street of small terraced houses. Number 27 had a slightly faded blue door and a small ceramic number plate. Alex took a small breath, found the bell, and pressed it. After a moment, the door opened. Jordan was perhaps 30, with tired eyes and a phone in one hand, and was looking at Alex with the cautious, slightly closed expression that strangers reasonably reserve for unannounced visitors at their front doors in the early evening. "Alex, I'm sorry to bother you. I think this might be yours. I found it on Bell Street just now." Jordan looked at the wallet. The expression changed completely. Jordan. "Oh. Oh, thank you. That's mine. Yes." Jordan took the wallet with both hands, opened it briefly, and looked up at Alex with an expression that Alex found, for a reason that took some time to identify, slightly difficult to receive. Jordan. "Everything's here. The money's all here. I really... thank you. Most people wouldn't have brought it back, would they?" Alex. "It's fine. Honestly, I'm glad you were home." Jordan, with a small wave of embarrassment, attempted to give Alex some of the cash as a kind of finder's fee. Alex declined, slightly more embarrassed. There was the brief, faintly awkward exchange that follows in such cases. The offer, the polite refusal, the offer again, the slightly firmer refusal. And then Alex said goodbye, turned, and walked back to the main street. On the way home, Alex did the thing that Alex had not particularly wanted to do, which was to think honestly about the 30 seconds on the pavement. Alex had returned the wallet. That was clear. But Alex had also, in those 30 seconds, considered the alternative. Not perhaps with any real intention, not perhaps with any real chance that the alternative would have been chosen. But the consideration had taken place. The temptation had been registered. Some small part of Alex had thought, however briefly, that this was a decision in which more than one outcome was open, rather than a fact about which there was only one possible response. It was, Alex thought, walking the last few minutes home, an uncomfortable thing to have noticed about oneself. Most stories Alex had read about people returning, lost things ended with the finder being entirely good and entirely certain. The reality, Alex was beginning to understand, was a little smaller and a little more honest than that. You did the right thing. You noticed, while you were doing it, that you had also briefly been the kind of person who could have done the wrong thing. And you went home with both pieces of information, knowing that the second piece did not exactly cancel out the first, but that it did, on careful inspection, complicate it. Whether this was a useful realization or a faintly uncomfortable one, Alex was not, that evening, entirely sure.